Welcome to the dynamic teaching of Pastor Nife Ibiemi, Lead Pastor of Love Dominion Assembly International. It is his vision to unveil the culture of Zion through the word and discipleship. Ready, set, grow.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, thank God for the move of the Spirit, for the prophetic authority in the house this morning. And I want to believe that in the course of prayers and also till the choir even ministered, that those who are limited in certain way or the other, there is freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Indeed, chains are breaking. There's so many, figuratively, there are so many chains that can be broken, okay? Indeed, it is true that we are delivered from the power of darkness, but there are certain things that keep us, you know, in one spot. And when we prophetically sing or echo it out, you know, in the spirit, you know, it pushes us out of such limitations. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. There's one song I want to sing. Just, it's a simple song. You don't need to stand. You can sing while you're seated, because today we're having communion service, so it's a two-pack service. The song goes like this: Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you, Alpha and Omega, there is no one like you, Covenant
keeping God.
There is no one. I am that I am. There is no one. Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. I am that I am. There is no one, oh, covenant. There is no one like you. I am that I am. I am that I am. My Redeemer, my Maker. There is no one like you. Right there where you sit, the wave the waves and sing down, covenant. There is no one like you. I am that I am. Oh, 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 oh. There is no one like covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. You're my maker, my redeemer. I am that I am. There is no one like you. Oh, let's sing it one more time. Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. I am that I am. There is no one like you. Covenant keeping God. My healer. My restorer. My way maker, I am that I am. I am that I am. There is no one. There is no one. Can I get a witness in this place? Covenant keeping God. There is no one. There is no one. The one who forgives my sin. The one who heals my wound. There is no one. Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. I am that I am. Oh, covenant keeping God. There is no one. There is no one like you. Hallelujah. Father, we yield our minds to you this morning. We yield our souls, our bodies, our hearing, our hearts to you, that you fill us afresh with your living waters in the name of Jesus, that we indeed be mindful of your covenant and we'll be able to win with them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat, those who are standing. Hallelujah. Psalms 111, it says this. It says, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 111, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasures in them. His work is honorable and glorious. Are you there, everybody? His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. Hallelujah. He says in verse 4, he said, he hath made us wonderful works to be remembered. He said, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Verse 5, he has given meat unto them that fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant. Amen. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. In other words, God will forever be mindful of his covenant. He told Abraham, he said, be mindful of my covenant. He said, he will ever, God himself, will ever be mindful of his covenant. Hallelujah. I repeat again, God, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. Hallelujah. Jump to verse 9. He said, he sent redemption unto his people. He had commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. He has commanded his covenant forever. He said, holy and what? And reverent is his name. God, listen everybody, God has commanded his covenant forever. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Amen. God is a covenant God. He does not break his covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. And he does not break his covenant. Look at Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. We're doing communion today. So we just want to do the hallelujah. Want to touch some things about the covenant. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that as that great shepherd of the sheep, through what? The blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, it's an everlasting covenant. Somebody say everlasting covenant. What does that suggest to us? It suggests that God's covenant is not temporary. Okay, his covenant is everlasting. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Amen. And he's saying that you remember his covenant. Reverend, his name. He will ever be mindful. The covenant is an everlasting what? Covenant. That's a good way to start. That emphasis. Hallelujah. Is for a reason. So we are in a covenant, sort of a covenant relationship. We're in sort of a covenant relationship, and it's very important that we recognize what we are in for. You know, when you hear of covenant, it has to do something, it has to do with agreement. In fact, if you read your Bible, if you open Bible, the Bible, okay, if you see, the Bible is divided, the document is divided into two books. The Old Testament and what? Now that tells you that it's a covenant book. Because clearly, by the word testament is just another way of saying covenant. It's new, old covenant, new covenant. So, okay, it's just synonyms. So the Old Testament, we have Old Testament and we have what? The New Testament. Or better still, we have the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And by covenant, we are talking about agreement. So there's an agreement. And we are saying this, that God is ever mindful of his agreement. And he's saying to us that we be also mindful of that agreement. So there's an agreement. Hallelujah. So as we have come to the end, none of the agreement is without blood. None of the agreement, hallelujah, none of the agreement is without blood. I'm talking about the old agreement and the new agreement. Now, the new agreement, in quote, is everlasting. Somebody say everlasting. And what does that mean? It will not end. So it is forever. Hallelujah. It is forever. So in other words, you can go to the agreement. You can bank on the agreement. Because one, God is mindful of the agreement. You should be mindful of the same agreement. And the agreement is forever. So it is very important that we understand what is contained in the agreement. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah. You know, sometimes have you had to make contract? Which I know a lot of people, break contract with your landlord. And a lot of people break contract. And in the contract it says, well, if last month, if you decide to leave before the last month, you forgot the what? Last month. It's an agreement. You sign, the other party signs. And the house agent is there as a mediator of the covenant, of the agreement. But in this case, no blood is spilled or shed. So what you are shedding in this one is signature. Thank you. So are we together here? But we are talking of a stronger covenant. The word covenant is a strong word. Very strong word. If you are from India, Africa, or especially, I don't know which, Africa is, but I know that, okay, in Nigeria. Because we know we have several Africans here. So, and I want to relate because it's a thing in Africa. So I want to believe that other African countries here, I want to believe that they also practice, do such like that. Even if you have not done it before, you must have seen it in movies. Where people are in love with each other. And they put blood inside water and they drink it, cross hand. If you break, the day you break, if I go, you break me, cutlass will cut you. You know what I'm trying to say? I have seen something like that. I have seen it. People make skit like that. It does agreement. Blood is stronger. So are we together, everybody here?
Yes, sir.
So we are talking about agreement. So the old covenant, so when we talk about Bible, when you talk about old covenant, it's a blood agreement, a bloody one. Same with the old, the new covenant. It's a bloody one. So what I'm trying to tell you here, that when you say you believe the gospel, you are believing, you are getting yourself inside a blood relationship.
Yes,
it's a bloody one.
Yes,
are we together? Yeah. So don't think, as much as okay as it is now, everybody is suited, looking beautiful, with all the... No, you are in a covenant bloody relationship. A bloody one. Blood, eje, hallelujah. That is what you are into. Glory to God. And it's very important that you recognize this. Very important. Because if you understand it, you would know where... Okay, let us do something here. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews. Hallelujah. We do Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. If you're there, say, Jesus is Lord. So Hebrews 9... So let's start from verse 12. Or better still, verse 11. Well, we can start from beginning. But it's just because of our time. So let's speak. We travel around that chapter. Is that okay by us?
Yes,
so, okay, good. So look at it. Let's do 11. It says, but Christ, being an high priest of the good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, no man without that is the reason. Verse 12. Neither by blood of goats, or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once for us into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal. Now, you have to pay attention to those characteristics. Everlasting covenant. Eternal redemption. So, he says this, that Jesus Christ, okay, he entered by his own blood, not with the blood of goats and calves, which was very significant in the old covenant. Okay, so, but by his own blood, and I told us this before, very important, you have to follow me, everybody. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, I'm not talking about red. It's not this red blood cell, okay? Neither is it the neutrophils, the erythrocyte, neither of them, okay? The blood of, a man probably has 5 liters or 6 liters of blood, okay? Depends on where they are from in Africa, okay? Yeah, that's true, because these guys, Kenyans, have more erythrocyte. Yeah, altitude affect blood cells, okay? So, but even if you, even whichever altitude you're from, okay, because that's why some of them can run, you know, running 1 million kilometer, and they are not tired. Have you seen those Kenyans? The one that is different among them is Bro Steve. No. But Bro Steve, he can run. He can run. Hallelujah. So you know why? Because of where they are. So whichever case is the erythrocyte. So I'm saying that 6 million, whatever, 6 liter rather. If you bleed somebody 6 meter and 6 liter comes out, or 5 liter, so whatever comes out, there's no blood. It's finished. So which blood of Jesus is washing 1 million people from their sin? Am I running now? Think about it now. Because right on the cross, they pierced his side. Blood came out, and water came out, came on the ground. He finished. When he resurrected, he said, hey, see me. He said, flesh and bone. He said, I am flesh and bone, not flesh and blood. What is what I'm trying to say, that it is not, you have to understand that. Hallelujah. Look at, let's continue. Look at it. Listen. Read it again. He says, verse 12, are you there? He said, neither by blood of goat or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Now, for if the blood of bulls and goat and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. So, how much more, listen, are you there? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who what? So, who what? Offered himself without spot to purge your conscience from dead works to serve God. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus, how does he apply it? Through his eternal spirit. Did you see that? So his spirit does not end. He's eternal. Blood in my hand now. It's through his eternal spirit. So it's the spirit of Christ. So when we say, well, you know, I plead the blood of Jesus, it's the spirit of Christ we are still talking about. He's the spirit of God. You know, but I'm not talking about your covering. I cover my pencil with the blood of Jesus. I cover, you know, you are confused. Doctrinally, it's not scriptural. So I cover my windscreen. I told us before, if you cover your windscreen, we red blood cell. Amen. But let's just say, well, you know, I know it's spiritual, okay? I know what you're saying is spiritual. Amen. Well, the spirit of God is with you, he's around you. Everywhere you go, you release the spirit. Amen. It's the same blood. He said, how much more with the blood of Christ? He said, who offered himself? He said, true. How did he put it again? He said, how much more the blood of Christ, who true, the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve what? So, verse 16, let's jump to 16. Oh, 15. For this cause, he, Jesus, is the mediator of what? Is the mediator of what? Listen, everybody. You know, we're talking about where you sign agreement with your landlord and you are signing, this person, landlord is here, you are here, the agent is here. He's saying that Jesus Christ is the mediator. So, you know, agent is supposed to be mediator of the one you are signing. Yeah. But in this one that we are explaining here, I'm using agent analogy so that you can understand what we're about to teach. Okay? But in the real sense of it, agency analogy is a weaker, you know, a circumstance in this explanation. But for you to understand, that's why I'm using it. Good. So Jesus Christ is the mediator of the same covenant. So who is signing the covenant here and who is taking the covenant here is the same Jesus. Are you what I'm trying to say? Who died on the cross to offer himself? Who offered himself as a ransom? Jesus. So at the other end of the covenant, who was offering, who was receiving the offering? Jesus, who became flesh. God, who became flesh. So he's the one that stands what? At the two ends of the covenant. So who is the mediator of the same? Jesus. Did you see? Everything, all in all, the entire medium is Jesus. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. So what we receive, we are recipients of the covenant. We are recipients of the... You know why? Because by covenant agreement, you cannot be on the table of covenant. Who are you to be on the table of covenant? Because number one, you know, the one who should make covenant with another person must be pure and holy and righteous. And he became us. Jesus became us to represent us. Because we couldn't represent ourselves. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, you can't represent yourself on the altar of the covenant. He became us to represent us. The Bible says, from among men. Look at it. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy? Yeah, 1 Timothy. Go there. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy rather. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're reading verse. Did I say 2 Timothy? Oh, sorry. First. It's the same first. I was right initially. I'm sorry. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? Now, verse 5. He said, for there is one God and one mediator between what? Please, follow. Don't rush yourself. He said, there is one God and one mediator between what?
God and men.
He now says, listen. Who is the mediator between God and men?
The man.
Now, listen. So, between God and men, he used the word the man. So the word man, that man is from where? From the men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said one mediator between God and men, the man. So the man is from who? The men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Yeah. He didn't say one mediator. One mediator between God and men, the God, is the man. So in other words, he represented us. So the man. Christ Jesus, represented us. Look at it. Follow. For the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, when we say something, for example, we say apolotrosis, that's the Greek word, for redemption. The Bible says in him, in Christ Jesus, we have redemption. In him, we have redemption. Say, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. So in him, we have redemption. What is redemption? Redemption is the act of paying a ransom to save somebody. Okay, let me explain to you. Everybody, listen. So, in the Old Testament, listen, if you've got a slave or someone, so the slave ought to work with you for like 7 years or ought to do something. So, the slave ought to do something to pay, okay, so that the slave can be free. If the slave will not work, so what almost something similar to what happened with Jacob, that you will have to work with me for 7 years. So that is the payment that he will pay. So when you do this, then you can now go. So he's bound to do it, because if he does not do it, he will be there. So he's saying that, number one, that in Christ Jesus, we have what? Redemption. So we have the act. So in him, we have the act of paying a ransom to set free. So in other words, through Christ Jesus, if before now, if you have been under the bondage of the devil, you have been rejected, you have been headbound. He said, in Christ Jesus, we have that act that paid our ransom to free us. So it means that the one who has believed the gospel is free. Listen, what I say. So he's now saying that, look at it. Jesus is not just only in him, we do not only receive redemption in him. He said, who gave himself what? So in him we have both redemption. He is also the payment paid to get the ransom. He is everything. Are we together here? Yeah. So go back to our covenant reality. Okay, whatever we're explaining in Hebrews. Hebrews, are you there? Go back to Hebrews 9. We just want to rush and jump and do some things together before we start the communion. Hebrews 9, are you there? We go back to 13. He said, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled in the unclean and sanctified to the pure of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the entire spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, he is the mediator of what? that by means of death, for the redemption and transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be necessity of what? Now, I repeat again, follow me, He says this, that for where what? A testament what? There must what? The necessity of the death of a testator. If testator will not die, there's no testament. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, we know that was the Old Testament. What was the testator of the Old Testament? Bulls. So, they have to kill the bulls and the goat. They have to die. Then the testament is applied or begin. In the New Testament, who is the testator? He's the one who gave himself a ransom. So that's what I was telling us earlier that, oh, Lisio, when the New Testament begin, not in Matthew, not in Luke, New Testament started in Acts. Because Jesus did not die until towards the ending of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In terms of historically. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Of course, the documents were written in the New Testament. But historically, if Jesus died, the testator died at the end. So, a testator, look at where a testament is, there must also of necessity be what? So, when did Jesus die? At the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So that's what I was saying. Even the Old Testament did not start in Genesis. It started in Exodus. You understand what I'm trying to say here? So you have to understand that. So you apply it. The testator must die. So when the testator has died, they say, the New Testament has begun. Let's jump there. Let's go. We're going somewhere. Are we together, everybody? Where did I stop? 16, it says, for where a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is not of force after men, but a testament is of force after men what? Otherwise, is of no strength at all. Why the testator live? Whereupon, neither the first testament and is dedicated without blood. Hallelujah. So we have come into. Look at it. Let's jump. I want to jump. Amen. Okay, let me just stop it there because of our time. So we have come into a new covenant. We have received the new covenant. We are part of the new covenant. The new creation is part of the new covenant. And that covenant is forever. It is called everlasting what? Covenant. And the Bible says it brings us better things. The new covenant, it brings us what? Better things. Forgiveness. Healing. Deliverance. Salvation. That is what we receive as a recipient of the covenant. The demand of the covenant is placed on Jesus, who stood there as a man for men. So now that you have believed Jesus, you have received eternal inheritance. Say, I've received eternal inheritance. I can hear you say, I've received eternal inheritance. You have received eternal inheritance. Hey. Hallelujah. So, if you see somebody, listen, if someone that is struggling with sin comes to Jesus, to the new covenant, the person receives strength, the blood is applied, and the person begin to overcome or rule over the sin. Because the new covenant is established upon better and stronger promises. If you are struggling in your finance, you're struggling in your family, you can bank on the covenant. Because what? The demand to bring you freedom has been done. Jesus gave himself a ransom so that we can become recipients of all the goodies in the covenant agreement. Are you following everybody here? So in other words, if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, manifestation of the Spirit is not by your effort, it's by what the covenant produces. We are going somewhere. Hallelujah. Okay, let's jump to Luke 22. The gospel according to Luke. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke and chapter 22. We read verse. Okay, let's read verse 17. Amen. And he took the cup. So Jesus was with his disciples. They were doing supper. And he took the cup and gave thanks. And said, take this, divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of this cup, you know, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he said, and he took the bread and gave thanks. And break it and gave unto them, saying what? Listen. Follow everybody, follow. Are you following everybody? Now, Jesus took the bread. He broke it. And he says, this is my body. Broken for you. He says, is that what he says? This is my body, yeah, which is given what? Now, listen. He did not say, which is given to you. Are you following everybody? He says, which is given what? For you. That is a big statement. Giving for means that it's given in replacement of. So what Jesus is talking about there is substitution. So for example, listen. The judgment of sin that you deserve, death, everything, is saying, my body is given for you. So you are going to take my place. Why I will give you, my body will be given for you. Say, his body is given for me. I can't hear. Say, his body is given for me. So don't forget, we started with the ransom paid. Why was the ransom paid? You were supposed to pay the ransom to bring your freedom. But Jesus came, gave himself as a ransom. So his body was given for us. Good. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Where did I stop? Okay, 19. Yeah, okay. So listen, he said, this is my body, which is given what? For you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also he took the cup, and after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed what? So everything that Jesus did in his cross, he did for us, for me. Amen. Say, he did it for me. Say, Jesus did it for me. I can't hear. Say, Jesus did it for me. You have to understand that. Let that sink in. Because he said, do this in remembrance. So you are remembering that, hey, he did this for me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So what are you supposed to be remembering? That he did this, what? For me. His body was for me. He said, this cup. And I was telling us, he said, this body, this bread, this cup, I have told us before, it's not, okay, then before I go there, let me, God help us. So look at, let's go to 1 Corinthians, so I will round up on there. Hallelujah. Because we are bringing the covenant reality into our face, so that we can see it clearly. 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, amen. You know, people say, Somebody said, you see, I remember when we were growing up, when we want to take communion, we say, if you have done something bad, you have sinned. Don't come, oh. Because if you come, something will happen to you. You collect sickness, you collect this, you collect that. Now we're going somewhere with it. That's why we started this. So, if you have, so examine yourself. Now, examine yourself. So some of us did not take then because of these reasons. Okay. Amen. Okay, I want to ask you everybody. What is the primary reason for Jesus' death? It's sin. Jesus came to die for our sin. Listen, it is primary. He came to die for our sin. The ransom he paid is to free us from the shackles and the bondage of sin. So listen, it means that if somebody, I don't know, for some of us here, okay, I want everybody can relate. If somebody has malaria here, and the person comes close to attest with it, do you tell the person not to take attest with it because he has malaria? Are you going to say, it does not make any sense. Because attestinate is a medicine, a drug, that is given, recommended to, for those who don't understand, I mean, those who are not medical students, is given to patients that have malaria. And it's very effective. Okay? So now, so when somebody has malaria, you tell them, attestinate. In fact, in Nigeria now, people even do self-medication. They already know. You have, my body, you go straight to attestinate. And when you take attestinate, after a few days, you sweat, you know, and you're okay. And they will not give you pepper soup and all those things, you know. You will be alive. That's what we're talking about here. A man who, probably either by ignorant or by something, who has some struggles in their life, when they come close to the covenant, remind them heavily of the covenant reality. Because it is the attestinate that cures the malaria. It is the blood of Jesus that cures the deficiencies, the sin. So, what are we supposed to examine? We're supposed to examine if you're coming to the Lord's table. So, for example, if you are coming to the Lord's table, in quote, if it is not because the blood is the one that cures my sin, then you are doing it wrongly. Are you going to try and say? So, for example, if you are coming to the Lord's table and you have not remembered that, it is this covenant that ratifies, that sets me free, you are doing it wrongly. Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. Because these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Now, let's start from verse, is it 17 now? Yeah, now 17. Are you there? Please, we are going to take it slow. Amen. 17. Now in this, I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So let me explain it verse by verse. So he's saying to them, if you have a better English version, you understand better. He said, hey guys, there is something I hear about that is happening among you. I'm not going to praise you guys in these things. I will not ail you in this. He said, because when you guys come together, you are coming for the worse. In other words, it's possible for people to gather. And their gathering is for the worse. In other words, they will leave meeting with sickness, deficiencies. He said, it's for the worse. Let's keep reading. Are you there, everybody? He said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And he said, I partly believe it. He said he heard that there's division. He said, I saw. Why? He said, so that those that are true will be manifested. Look at the verse 19. For there must also be heresy among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Are you following, everybody?
Yeah.
Are you following, you know? He said, when you come together, therefore, into one place, he said, what I'm seeing among you, what you guys called communion or supper, whatever, he said, it is not supper. Let's keep reading. For in eating, everyone, I'll read Amplified Version. For when you eat, each one hurries to get his own supper first, not waiting for the others or the poor. So one goes hungry while another gets drunk. So this is the concept. I want you to get the picture clearly. So there is communion meeting, and there is bread and, you know, wine. And people, some of them, the rich ones, they sit in front. So they come, they take a big chunk, get big chunks, some take enough wine. So they go home, they eat, they, you know, pack for their family. And some poor people who don't have access, you know, politics in the church, so they don't have access, so they go back home hungry. So even the poor that goes home hungry, and the rich who packs enough to go home hungry, both of them are packing home sickness, and because he's going back home hungry. His intention is to come and eat and be, you know. So let's keep reading. Are you following, everybody? He says,
Verse 21, for in eating, everyone takes one before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Why do you despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Verse 23, for I received of the Lord that, so listen, everybody, listen. So did you, if you, the one you are reading now, did you see where they went wrong? I'm saying, everybody, are you reading? Did you see what they are seeing? So what was their sin here? It was waiting on where people will come, I eat, this one will come. Some people will go home, shy, drunk. Other people, that is the problem. And he said, Paul called, he said, it's a sin. He said, for I receive of the Lord, first of all, he said, which I also delivered to you, that the night, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. Okay, let's keep reading. What he said, took bread and what? And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said, take this do in remembrance of me. So he took it. This is my body, which is broken for you. So listen, Emma, what? So look at it now. So Paul is about to teach it. He's now teaching it again that, hey, the body is broken for you. And in your doing, do this, remembering this. And I told you once before, I said, there's only one body and one spirit. And one covenant. So this is my body. It's not plenty, plenty. There are plenty, plenty bodies everywhere. For example, you know, you get aggregate bread. This one get, you know, this bread and all those things. There's only one bread. And, you know, this situation needs to be, we need to remind people again. Because Jesus Christ came in John 5, John 4, 5, 6. Jesus came to them. They said, our Father gave us manna in the wilderness. Jesus said, said the true bread is him. He said, I'm the bread of life. He is the bread. Are you getting? Are you following the explanation? Jesus has been saying it since. I am the bread of life. And he said, this bread is not the bread that they, it's not the kind of bread. He's talking about his body. But you know, if you are not careful, when Jesus was talking about bread, you know, I'll give you my bread, in my flesh is meat indeed. What they were thinking was what happened in the wilderness. Who are you to say, well, you are the bread? But Jesus had to explain to them because they were carnal. Say, hey, don't focus on those physical manna. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. But even still, while he was doing the body, the Lord's table with them, they were seeing aggregate bread. Are we together here? While Jesus was telling them that this bread is my body, they were still seeing aggregate bread. This cup is a new covenant. They were still seeing something else. Wine. Ogogoro. But Jesus, several times, he had taught them that, hey, put your eyes away from the carnal things. See me. Yeah. But for better explanation for them, he used carnal things to explain to them, to explain this reality to them. But the focus is not in the carnal things, but in Jesus. He said, this body, this is my, look at it. Are we together, everybody? Where did I stop, everyone? 25. Okay, he says, look at it. He said, and the same manner he took cup, and when he supped, saying, this cup, not many cups. There's only one cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as ye often ye drink it, in remembrance of what? Okay. So it will mean that, it will therefore mean that if someone comes to the communion meeting, and what they are thinking about is, ah, I will eat plenty. Or, I don't know, I came to church, I came there, they did not even allow me to eat. And look at it, this one is drunk. I cannot even go home drunk. Both of them, what are they doing? They are not remembering the essence of it. And what have they done? They have sinned. So, and by so doing, what have those who took and shayo and took all this thing, what have they done? They have eaten it what? Unworthily. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? You have to understand what it means. Okay, let's keep reading because of our time. So for as often as you do eat, 26, you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he's come. Verse 27, wherefore, whatsoever shall eat of this bread and shall drink this cup of the Lord, what? Shall receive guilt. I'll read Amplified Version. It says, for so then, whatsoever eat this bread, the bread, and drink the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body. And I wish I have easy to read version here. Oh no. So that we can see there. ESV. Anybody has ESV here? You have ESV. Is it ESV? ERV, yeah? How does it say it? Come and read it for me. Yeah, bring it. No. Is it ERV? Is yours ERV? ESV, bring it. Thank you. Yeah. I would like to read it. I think it's ERV, is it ERV or ESV? ESV. Anyone? Okay, thank you. Which verse is that? 26. Oh, come and read it yourself. It's me your Bible says. Okay. Is it ESV or which one is it? Where is it? Where is the place? Ah. Okay. No, there's ERV. I need ERV. This stick emphasizing King James. I need ERV. Or easy to read version. Or any English. Simple. Is this ESV, yeah? Read it still. Thank you.
Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord.
Okay, you see? So it's the same. Emphasize the gift. Thank you so much. All right, bless you. Who else again? ERV. Okay. What happened to it?
I changed the scripture.
Okay, where is it? Okay, don't worry. It's okay. Where? Okay, 27. Read it. Come and read it yourself because it's your Bible. Is it your Bible? Okay. Anyway, yeah, read it.
So if you eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in a way that does not fit its meaning, you are sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord.
That one is easy to read. If you eating it, it does not fit the meaning. And what is the meaning? The meaning is false. So that's what I'm saying. You cannot chase people away because they have malaria. You cannot chase, it does not make any sense. Yeah. How? You are worthy. He goes, yes, I'm worthy. Say, come on. Now, and you know, it's so easy. Some of us, we stepped out. Not because, you know we are worthy. But I think I saw everybody will not be looking at us as unworthy. So we just stepped out like that. So, whatever happened, we will take it. At least everybody will know that, I'm worthy. But in your heart, you know, I have done things. Because number one, reality, you have missing both reality of, you don't even know what Jesus has done for you. You're just going to church because, okay, you just have to go to church religiously. You don't even know what it is. So the entire concept is for you. He said, for me. This is my body broken for you. This is the blood for you. Somebody say, for me. You have to understand, for me. You know, there's a song, just for me. Just for me. The song came to your mind too. Eh? Jesus came and did it just for me. You remember the song? Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. That is the whole essence of communion. Let us do chapter 10 and we'll end there because our time is far spent. Chapter 10. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 16, it says, the cup of the blessing which we bless, he said, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You know, by communion, not koinonia, it means the fellowship or the participation, the togetherness. Hallelujah. So, in other words, when we even take taking the communion, what we are doing carnally, the bread that we are breaking and we are taking, is just a physical carnal representation of spiritual reality. So don't be putting emphasis on bread, agege bread, or daraton bread. Because if you are taking, I want to take daraton bread, or this bread, and it's sweet in my mouth, you are already missing it. You are just being guilty. You have to examine yourself now. By examining yourself, is it? So you are supposed to come to the point, Jesus, thank you. You did it for me. My freedom, you paid the ransom for me. Hallelujah. So you are looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, for me. Glory to God. So when you come and approach, you know you can do it. That's what I told you. You can do it even with your children. You are there, seated on the table. They are seated. And you serve rice and coke. Now, for the sake of, okay, to make it look, I used to do it with biscuits and water. But for the sake to make it look for the symbolic representation, sometimes we use unleavened bread. The concept of unleavened bread, let me explain to us, okay? You know, they use unleavened bread. The concept of unleavened bread, listen up everybody, is this. Because a little leaven leavened the whole lump. So a little yeast, we yeast the whole lump. So it's an explanation to tell you that though we are one body, you must be careful not to introduce discord into the body of Christ. We are one. So you must make sure in your utterance, you don't speak anything against the body. That's all. You must make sure you are not the one that is initiating sect in the body. Say, sect. Because the body has to be compact together. Paul explained it, but because of today, we are not explaining it like that. Okay, maybe some other time I explain it. But you can go ahead and study it. Why is he saying that on a little leaven, okay, leaven what? The whole lump. Oh, no, it's okay, don't worry. No, you can stay here. Don't worry, thank you. God bless you. So, are we together, everybody? Are you following everybody? So, what is the whole essence of what we are talking about today? For me. For me. So, if you have sickness in your body, then this brings to the reality. Because let me say this to you, to just help us a little again. If you take aggregate bread and whatever you take, you will die. But Jesus said, whatever you take, it goes. And this thing, the clearance is, you know, I don't know how many percent is the clearance, you know, percentage. But whatever, if you take bread, it goes into, when you get to the intestine, all the enzymes, you know, maltase and all those things act on them. Then you shit it. You will shit it. It goes to the toilet. Because you are not taking, you know, what you are taking is not such that 100% will enter the body. It's not intramuscular. Okay? So it goes to your mouth. You mount it, yeah? Okay? And you eat it, bolus, go straight to the intestine, get here, then you put it feces. It ends like that. What we are talking about, the one that enters your body and never leaves, where you are part of, is this body, the real one that it did for you. So that's why we're saying, look at it. Let's look at it. First, where did I stop here? 16. It says, verse 17. It says, for we, being many, are one what? So look at it. For 17 says, for we be many, are one bread. Hey, and one body. Hey, my God. See, what they are trying to say is this. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Hey, my God. Listen. Don't sleep. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread. This bread is my body. Take, eat. So you eat. When you eat it, instantly, you become the bread. You become part of the bread. Yeah, you get it. He said, you are part of the bread. Then, whoa. For we, being many, are one bread. One bread. He started with you. I am the only bread. But as you eat it, you become one with him. Because it depicts the oneness. You have to understand. It is a koinonia, a communion. That's why it is one bread. Because it's communion. So say, we are coming for communion service. Only communion. What does it mean? Only koinonia. Only relationship. Only togetherness. One bread. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. On the bread nearby. You are part of the bread. Nani? Glory to God. I am one with Christ. So communion. Only communion even explain the oneness. Last place that we read. It says this. Oh, let's jump. Nobody. Take. I can go forever, so I will not go. I will stop. Hallelujah. Because for a while, this will be the last Sunday for a while. I mean, not last Sunday. I'm going to be away for like 4 weeks. Hallelujah. So we just want to make sure that we do this. Glory to God. Of course, we have anointed ministers in the house. We are one body. Glory to God. Say, I'm one with Christ. I'm one with Christ. Say, Jesus Christ is the ransom for me. Say, Jesus Christ is the ransom for me. So what I do today in the taking of the physical bread divided, I'm recollecting my koinonia or my communion with the Father, which is holy, that I am one body and a member in particular with Christ. And as I take the wine, I am remembered, or I recollect, that the blood of Jesus has been offered through his eternal spirit for me. So therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for me, because I am in Christ Jesus. As one body, as one bread, no condemnation, no devil in hell, no devil on earth, no devil above can stand against me, because I am one with the Father in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you say that right?
Yes, sir.
Did it come out of you right?
Yes, sir.
You have to know that. Let's serve it.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed.